Give me a second. I should have brought these up earlier. I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe. Oh. Praise the Lord. I'm glad I have pockets. I didn't know I was going to have pockets in my... Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, the title of today's message is Be Still and Know. I didn't cry like this practicing. All right. Be still and know. You know, so since Bert introduced me, I was going to mention that she told me that there's nothing left to preach about Mother's Day, but I won't say that. So then I was going to say, and we can all go home now. So, well, thank you all for coming. When I was looking at a few different messages, I thought, how in the world am I going to turn them into 45-minute messages? You know, when you find a little something, you know, I'm not a real wordy person, so, you know. Well, for those who know me. Anyway, turning a lesson into message into 45 minutes can be a challenge. But even though I do, I have about 2,500 words. Anyway, that's not a lot, is it? No. Anyway, I start out with 45 minutes, but I end up only preaching like 20. So we'll see what happens. Every time I stand at the pulpit, I'm really sure I'm going to fill the time allotted, and I'm almost done before I even know it. I probably am the Speedy Gonzales of message deliverers.
Slow down.
Anyway, I know of one mother who refuses to come to church on Mother's Day because of the words of affirmation that come from the pulpit. It makes her feel like a failure. And although I think if we took a poll around this church today and asked the moms, I think we would find out that a lot of us feel like that we failed in some way. On the other hand, I think that as a mom, we feel like we did the best that we knew how. And hearing a small thank you for the years that we spent raising our children touches our hearts, gives us the courage to keep going on. First, you carry your child for 9 months. Giving birth, oh, that's scary. Going home with your first child, that's even scarier. Then the sleepless nights, bottle feedings, countless diaper changings, housework, cooking, cleaning, washing clothes, folding clothes, the list goes on and on. And sometimes, and at the same time, holding down a job to supplement the family income. Now, this message today is not your typical Mother's Day message, but is one for all of us to glean from. And before I start, one more thing. I'm sure that you ladies were expecting to receive your gifts when you first came in today, but no worries, you'll receive them after the service is over because they coincide with today's message. When I was deciding on a gift, for anyone who knows me, if you give me more than one choice, it's going to take me a while. So when I realized I couldn't decide, I asked Shirley and Eleanor if they would give me a helping hand. You know, here are my choices. So they came up with something I think you might like. What they picked have words of encouragement. It's peaceful to look at, and it's pink and blue. So it's perfect. So, all right, now for the message. Shh. Have you ever been hushed? Have you ever hushed someone? It can be considered impolite to hush someone, but it depends on the nature that it's being done. Consider these scenarios. I'm sure that there isn't a mom in this sanctuary today that doesn't remember having a car full of screaming children on an icy highway in the middle of a blizzard and hushing their children so they could drive home in silence. Maybe hushing your children was not the word you used that tense night. But for the sake of the message today, we're going to assume that you hushed your children.
Yeah, right.
Okay. There are young moms here today. And you can find them hushing their children to sleep. They're crying babies to sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning. Oh, and I learned something new. Amanda told me about this. There is a battery-operated husher. Yes, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. When you want to put your baby to sleep, you just turn on the battery-operated husher. You put it next to the baby, and it will hush your baby to sleep. Yay. There you go. I need that. Yay! Yay!
Why didn't we think of that?
I don't know. We could be rich. All right, my husband and Leanne and I attended Gwen's orchestra concert a few weeks ago. Yay, Gwen. And a man behind us talked the entire time. We didn't come to hear him. So my daughter, Crystal, she started giving him the eye, staring him down, but he didn't get it. So hushing was the order of the day. He still didn't get it. My granddaughter, Gwen, while in school and sitting at her desk, a young man turned around and asked her her name. She politely told him. He turned back around. A few moments later, he turns around again, and he says, "Do you have a boyfriend?" And she says, "Shh."
Not that girl.
Amen. Now, I digress for just a second. Give me a little chance to shout out to Jack. I don't have a hushing story about him, but I want to tell. Yeah. I just wanted to say that my little grandson is the best baseball player in Scott Township. So, love you, Jack. So, can we agree that hushing is not always impolite? That hushing is sometimes reasonable and sometimes even necessary. With hushing in mind, let's look at a few scriptures. Habakkuk 2:20. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Mm-hmm. Ecclesiastes 5:1. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. And Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I see here in these three scriptures that the Lord's petition is obvious and serious. Silence is the request from the Lord. Is the Lord being impolite? Why would the Lord ask us to be quiet? So why the command to be still? Why would God hush us? Because love requires it. We can't listen when we're talking. We can't hear. We can't really hear if we're not paying attention.
Yep.
We can't receive from God when we are busy with so many things. To receive, we must be still. Have you ever tried to talk to someone that they refuse to stop doing what they're doing to just look at you in the face and hear what you have to say? For just a minute or two. It's not to say that people can't hear you while they're busy working, but when one consistently refuses to stop what they're doing to look you in the face when you have something to say, it's hurtful.
Yes, sir. Amen.
So how must the Lord feel? People tell me all the time, I pray while I'm driving to work, running the sweeper, cutting the grass, folding clothes, cooking, the list goes on. And yes, I do get it. That's all good because in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, it tells us we are to pray without ceasing. The word cease in the dictionary means to bring an end to something. We should never bring an end to prayer.
Amen.
To be on our lips constantly. Okay, so when you never go to your quiet place to talk to God, to hear what he might have to say to you, you are missing out on those treasures that only God can offer. His peace, his grace, his mercy, his direction. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that he doesn't love us or won't protect us or heal us or grace us if we don't go to our quiet place, but we are so missing out on the big picture. Now, it's embarrassing for me to admit this, but at times, and too many times, I've given to the sacrifice of fools. I have failed to be still. I have failed to take the time to get alone and to be with the Lord to hear what he had to say. And there was a time, it was such a dark spot, I couldn't see my way out. I stood at this very altar, and I asked God if he loved me. Why didn't I know he loved me? After all, he had given his only son for me. Jesus shed his blood for me. So why was I asking God of all creation, who set the redemptive plan in order and carried it out through his son Jesus, his dear son Jesus, if he loved me? The truth was, I didn't really know for sure. But why? Because I forgot who he was. How do you forget who God is? Once you've come to know him and loved him and spent time with him, how do you forget? I would tell my children on Wednesday night and in our little Wednesday night Bible study from time to time, you have to show yourself friendly to get friends. You have to spend time with them at lunch and at recess. Call them on the phone and say, come on over and let's play. Well, that's what God wants from us. Even the people that know you, you start forgetting who they are when you stop fellowshipping with them. I forgot who God was because I was too busy doing things for him and not with him. I stood in that prayer line asking God over and over, do you love me? If you do love me, please show me. But he already showed me. Bible is full of show. But God didn't have to answer me. He didn't really have to answer me. Any other person in the world would have said, Teresa, I already told you once. How many times do I have to tell you again? But before Pastor even reached me in that prayer line to pray for me, I felt the presence of the Lord and his power. And I went down in the spirit. No one was near me. No one laid hands on me. In that moment, the Lord was so gracious. And he said, I love you. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so after that moment, I made changes and everything was all better, right? Nope. Nope. I just stayed in the same rut. It took me a long time after that to get things in order and to put God first place in my life. How silly, right? Very silly. You know, our lives are filled with distractions. Our culture holds up so many shiny baubles and offers us so many tricky temptations. Our calendars are crammed full of obligations. And for all these reasons, even though God is speaking to us, we don't hear him. We lose our peace, we lack godly perspective, and our hearts are too seldom hearing hearts. All right, I wrote my scripture verse down, but you can all turn to 1 Kings 3 through 14. All right, in 1 Kings 3, 3 through 14, in the New King James Version, "And Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he sacrificed and burned incense at the high places. Now the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. And Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings on that altar. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, 'Ask, what shall I give you?' And Solomon said, 'You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David. But I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?' And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, 'Because you have asked this thing and have not asked long life for yourself, nor have asked riches for yourself, nor have asked the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your words. See that I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as your father David walked, then I will lengthen your days.'" Solomon was the wisest ruler God ever gave to the nation of Israel. Shortly after the death of his father David, Solomon had a dream. In that dream, God invited Solomon to ask for whatever he wanted, promising that his request would be granted. God's an awesome God. Solomon famously asked for wisdom. The Lord graciously honored that request and added to it renown, riches, and the possibility of long life. What you may not know is that the word we commonly translate as wisdom in Solomon's request means literally a hearing heart. Solomon asked for a wise heart, a hearing heart, a heart turned toward the Lord, a heart sensitive to the Lord's will and open to the Lord's guidance. And you know what? Here's the beauty of all of that. The Lord still offers this gift today. When we slow down and recognize our foolishness, our distractedness, our failures to hear, Jesus doesn't scold us. Instead, he forgives us. We are released from guilt. Moment by moment, we are free to fall into the Father's arms of love. We do not separate ourselves, if we do not separate ourselves from the things of this world and spend time with the Lord, the enemy of our soul will convince us that God doesn't hear us, that he won't help us, that God won't forgive us, that God won't heal us, that God doesn't love us. And if we are not careful, we can walk away from the very God that can offer us the peace and the freedom that we so desire and so desperately need in our lives. We just need to set our priorities in order. That's simple. And put God first. That's simple. And even with life's distractions pounding hard on every part of our lives, we can be certain that God will be directing every step we take. The God of love is saying, be still and know that I am God. So, as we get alone with the Lord and search his word and worship him and pray to him, we can take a breath. Be still and know that God is God. By putting God first, you now have the confidence to turn your worries over to him, to leave them with him. You are free to trust that the Lord is our provider and our friend. Amen. I don't know how long I've been standing up here, but it's almost over. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely awesome.
Oh, here are my next words. So I end with this. Especially today, all of us should thank God for the many ways he's used our moms. Amen.
Amen.
The way he's used our moms, our grandmothers, our aunts, our sisters, our Sunday school teachers, our mentors, and our coaches, and other women in our lives to make us wise unto salvation. In 2 Timothy 3:15, you don't have to turn there, it's up on the wall. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. We should be truly grateful and acknowledge that the women in our lives come to us as a gift from God.
Oh, amen.
Okay, as you leave today, ladies, I invite you to take one of the Still and Know Reminder inspirational flip books. And I hope, it's my hope, that it reminds you of the blessing you are to all of us here at Aliquippa Christian Assembly. And the blessing you are to your families.
Amen.
Amen. So my prayer today, Father, I pray that the ladies here, both married and unmarried, will seek out your quiet place. And when they do, I pray that they find you, God, as they meditate on your word. They will find their healer. They will find their provider. They will find their friend and their peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.